When you're starting a business and when you're fleshing out the ideas, you cannot be afraid to admit to yourself that what you're doing is not good.
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. 5 must be Tom Snyder's lucky number. A little over 5 years ago, Tom won the statewide Montana John Rufato Business Startup Competition for his plan to launch 5 on Black, a fast, casual, health-oriented Brazilian-style restaurant. 5 on Black now has 5 locations in Montana and Colorado and will soon celebrate 5 years of operation. Today on Can Do Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, we'll talk with Tom, not yet 30 years old, about his success and his plans for the future. This show is made possible with support from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. Welcome, Tom Snyder.
Thanks for having me.
So the first thing, I have to admit, the first time I heard about 5 on Black, I thought it was a roulette wager, not a Brazilian restaurant. So what's the history of the name? How did you come up with the name for this?
I love that a lot of people take that reference right away. And for us, I didn't take a lot of marketing classes, but one of the things that always really stuck out to me was you have to have a name that's easy to say, easy to pronounce, easy to spell, and people can remember. So we played around with a lot of Portuguese names, a lot of different kinds of names to try to describe what we were doing, but people were having a hard time pronouncing it and saying it. So we really went back to the drawing board and we wanted something that was random and fun, something that created a conversation, like you just had to ask. So now people had an audio memory of it and a visual memory of the name. And it came to represent there's 5 steps to building your bowl, and then black beans is a base of the Brazilian diet. So it's kind of 5 steps on black beans.
So why Brazilian? You're in Missoula, Montana. What happened that connected you to saying to yourself, I'm going to start a Brazilian restaurant chain?
Well, I'm not Brazilian. That's right. Probably one of the first questions I get. My wife's not Brazilian. I was a finance major at the University of Montana.
So you were a student?
Yep. I was a student and a finance major for undergrad at the University of Montana. And I really went about starting a business a lot like you would picking a stock. So I kind of tried to look at it from a macro level and avoid a niche in our local community, maybe in our regional community, and then worked inward toward that. So what I fell in love with and something that I felt was really lacking was quality, healthy, good, inexpensive food. So I started looking at what kind of restaurants fit into that market. So
at that point, did you have any restaurant experience at all?
I had worked at the Depot for 5 years. Speaking of 5, apparently it is a lucky number for me. I had worked at the Depot for 5 years, and then I had become a river guide through college. So not a huge amount of food experience, but I love going out and eating. So I started looking at all of these different restaurants. I looked at the top 50 fast casual brands and what they were doing well and why they're successful. And what I came up with was they took a national cuisine and they commercialized it, Americanized it, made it comfortable, easy, and familiar for people. And no one had done that with Brazilian food. So Brazilian steakhouses had really started to grow and explode. And so the idea was, how can we take a Brazilian steakhouse, which people obviously are really liking in America, and how do we fit that into the fast casual industry? Because that was a cuisine type that hadn't been done before.
At that point, had you ever been to Brazil?
I had never been to Brazil.
So this was a total flyer on your part. You're doing this research.
Yep.
You get it to the point where you enter the John Rufato business competition at the University of Montana and you win it.
Yep, correct.
And then you take the money from the business plan competition and go to Brazil?
Yep. That was the first time I had gone to Brazil, which was pretty far down the path of already creating this concept. So, you know, we had basically the menu set at that point, the concept set at that point. And when I went down to Brazil with now my wife, we really were able to refine what we were doing, really feel the culture and the energy of Brazil. And there were a couple items that we thought we had nailed that we absolutely hadn't and that we had to revise and change. But it really came from a lot of research and from understanding the business we were going into. There's a lot of people who are great chefs and they make great food, but they don't understand the niche that they're going into, the industry they're going into, and the business they're going into. So we kind of reversed that model and started with that first, and then ordered every cookbook we could find on Brazilian cuisine and started playing around with it.
So when you won the competition in 2012 and went to Brazil, did you realize that, did you have any inkling that 5 years later you would have five restaurants under your ownership?
No, I really didn't. So I entered the business plan competition in the state of Montana under the lifestyle category. After I'd come up with this idea or wanted to do this idea, I got a job at El Diablo, which is a local burrito shop like Chipotle in Missoula, Montana. And, you know, I approached the owner and said, hey, I want you to know I'm going to be doing this. This is my goal. I want to learn as much as I can. And Mike Eisman's an awesome guy, and he was an old soccer coach of mine. He was more than willing to say, all right, yeah, work hard.
So would you consider him your mentor in this?
Yeah, in a lot of ways, you know, I got the basis of what I needed to open a restaurant from the really good systems and operations that he had. And then, you know, just really tried to build on that as much as I could.
So how big an operation do you have now? How many employees? How many customers do you see? What's the business look like now?
Well, you know, like I said, the idea was one store. And when I presented at the competition, a lot of people, you know, beforehand said, you know, you should really build out this model to include future growth. So I did. And within my business plan, it actually lays out a second Missoula store in Montana, another store in Bozeman, Montana, over a 3-year period. And we ended up hitting those goals almost exactly as the business plan had said. You know, that necessarily wasn't the goal to begin with. And at this point, we now have 5 locations with over 100 employees.
And 2 of them are in Colorado.
2 of them are in Colorado. And we just announced last week that we're going to be doing another store in Great Falls, Montana.
So now you're going to ruin my whole 5 with your lucky number.
I know. I thought for a while I should just stop. You know, we've got 5 stores. Everything's good. But if we really want to continue spreading really good food into other communities.
Well, that brings up an important question. How do you know if you're expanding at the right pace? What are the indicators of that?
That's such a good question. And I think it's something that trips a lot of people up. My philosophy on that is if your existing stores aren't operating self-sufficiently in a really tight, productive way, then you're not ready to open up another location. So before we ever open up another store, we try to make sure that we have really good general managers at each location, that we have really good staffing, that our systems and procedures are being followed through on a really proficient level. And when we feel like we've hit that, then we're ready to open up another store.
And that's one of the toughest things to do in the restaurant business is find and maintain good staff. How do you do? What's your trick of the trade?
It's not as much of a trick as I would say a lot of thoughtful effort in treating our staff really well. And my view is that a lot of people put the finances first, they put the customers first, and I try to put our staff first always. So a motto I had earlier on was, every day when I come to work, my goal is to make my employees' lives easier, whether that's by creating a new system that makes their job easier, whether it makes it more enjoyable for them to be at work because they have the right amount of workload. So we really try to put our staff and our employees first. And I think as a result, they're happy at work, they enjoy what they're doing, and they treat our customers really well. They're more on board with what we're asking them to do. And so I think it allows us to, in the end result, have really successful stores, but we also have really great employee retention. You know, we offer 401k plans, you know, our general managers, we pay for their cell phone, a gym membership. We really try to pay our staff well, but more importantly, treat them really well.
Well, you can tell. I mean, I've been a customer and I walk in and there's a very convivial atmosphere in the store. I want to focus a little bit on the healthy aspect. You talk about the food being healthy. What makes this particular kind of fast food healthier than other kinds?
We cook everything that day. You know, we use real ingredients. Nothing is coming out of a packet. And I think, you know, it works for us in a lot of different ways. One, it's really healthy, but also it simplifies what we do. And I think in business, the simpler and more direct you can make your focus and your goal, the better it is for everybody. And so for us, you know, we just let collard greens be collard greens. You know, we take a bunch of raw collard greens and we cut them up and we cook them with garlic and olive oil. You know, we're not adding a bunch of things, which makes our systems easier from an operations standpoint, but also makes the food healthier and it makes it taste better. We don't need to overcomplicate things.
Mm-hmm. What are the challenges of running two locations in another state, like in Colorado? Do you have a local partner that helps with that?
We have really good general managers. And, you know, that kind of goes back to how do you motivate your staff and your employees? And you have to get them to a point where they have the same vision that you do. And that's creating a store that has a really good energy and a store that completely cares about what they're doing and how their customers are interacting with the food. So we live in a time now which it's amazing what you can do with technology. You know, just easy text messages and phone calls or video chats. We can really talk with our general managers in another state almost as if they were there. Nothing beats being in store and talking to them face to face, and we try to do that when we can. But we've been fortunate in finding really incredible general managers, and it makes running stores in a different state a lot easier. Without them, it's pretty hard.
Restaurants are, in many ways, capital intensive. You have to have a location. You have to renovate it to your specifications. You need equipment, you know, obviously inventory. Do you have a financial partner that's coming along with you in this venture?
So at this point, you know, I was a finance major, and that's something that excites me is the financial backbone of the business and how we grow, you know, using bank loans or market partners. But if we can manage our daily operations and our daily cash flows, it makes that capital expense a lot easier on us. And the nature of the fast casual industry is it doesn't cost nearly as much as a sit-down restaurant. You don't have near the equipment. You don't have the furniture fixtures that you need in a sit-down restaurant. The staffing load is way smaller. So we can be a lot leaner and quicker in our growth than a standard restaurant.
So what's been your biggest surprise or challenge so far? I mean, this has come along pretty quickly, you know, in business terms. You've gone from a business plan at a university competition to five restaurants, a sixth now going to open. What's the biggest surprise challenge you're facing?
You know, for us, I think it's being purposeful in what we do. Sometimes that's really hard to do. It's easy when you're growing to lose track of who you are and what you want to be doing with your food and with your business and how you want to interact with the communities. So pausing and being purposeful, that's always a challenge and something we try to check ourselves on a lot.
You mentioned earlier on about a couple of food mistakes. Is there anything you want to share with our listeners that might be helpful from that experience?
Well, I think that when you're starting a business and when you're fleshing out the ideas, you cannot be afraid to admit to yourself that what you're doing is not good. And, you know, we had some of those where we had worked so hard on an entire menu or an offering before opening, and there were times where we just had to say, we've got to scrap this because it's not very good, even though we've put all this time into it. You know, we made a lot of food mistakes when we were just exploring different menu items. And I remember one time my wife's dad owns a hotel and we were living in one of the suites in the hotel. And we were experimenting with a recipe and it was one of the worst things that I've ever tasted in my entire life. It stunk up the entire floor and we just tossed it away. So that one clearly didn't make it to the second round of potentially going on the menu. But, you know, the point is we kept trying, we kept exploring. We had some things that worked really well and some things that didn't work well. But you have to try a lot in order to get to the right end result.
We're talking with Tom Snyder, owner and operator of Five on Black, the casual, healthy fast food restaurant chain, which will shortly open its sixth location. So knowing what you know now, is there something you would have done differently looking back over these past 5 years?
Well, I think about that a lot. And I wonder if I would even open up the first location knowing what I know now, because it is a lot of work. And I don't know that I was completely ready when we opened. I mean, when we opened our doors at the first Missoula location, that first week was one of the hardest things that I've ever done in my life, because it was just learning on your feet. There were so many things that I was completely unaware of. And the whole goal was, we can't let our customers know that I'm completely panicked behind the counter. You know, they have to continue having a good experience. And I think that there was a huge benefit to being younger and being pretty naive about what I was getting into, because I just went for it. I enjoyed the process. I asked a lot of questions, and I had nothing to lose at that point. And I think it made it successful, where I might have overthought it to an extent at this point.
Well, certainly a change from being a river guide and working in a restaurant on your own to having 100 employees and now 6 locations, I'm assuming more employees. So based on what you just shared, what's the future over the next 5 years look like for you? What have you been thinking about?
I honestly try not to think too far ahead. You know, we of course have goals and hopes for the brand and in our stores, but I try to keep it very present in that, what's my goal for the next 6 months? And, you know, my goal for the next 6 months is I want to run our 5 stores really well. I want to continue to engage new customers and keep our returning customers present. And I want to open up our 6th store in Great Falls and have it be the best store that we've opened to date. And I think that if we do that, then it sets us up for opening a lot of new doors in the next 5 years. And I'm not sure what those are and what they look like and what opportunities might come. But if we do a heck of a job at what we're doing currently, I know that we can continue to have success moving forward.
That all sounds very, you know, exciting.
Yeah, that was my political answer for you.
Well, I mean, it's good to have a political answer, and it's good to focus on the here and now. I mean, that's important in the business. You won't get to a future if you don't make sure that the current present is being handled appropriately. Are there menu changes in the works? I mean, you have customers and you get feedback from customers, and every chain that I know of, you know, from the biggest McDonald's to others, experiment with different menu items just to keep things fresh. Do you do that as well?
We just added, close to a year ago now, a rotating sauce and a rotating meat. So every quarter, we'll try to do a different sauce or a different protein that's rotisserie cooked on the grill. And that kind of keeps it fresh for people who come in all the time and want something a little bit new. But I think that you have to be very cautious about changing things too much, because the space that we're in, one of the key things that drives people into our restaurant is consistency. And it's amazing how people who come in 5 days a week, which we have for years and years and years, they get the exact same thing every time. And when you talk to most people who come in, they get the exact same thing. And if they get the spicy coconut sauce, there's a lot of people who have never even tried the mango barbecue sauce. So by adding...
Is that surprising to you?
I think I knew that pretty well going into it, that people are creatures of habit, and we want to make sure that they have that consistency. People are just inundated with choices all day long, and we hope to be a spot you can come into and know exactly what you're getting, exactly what you're paying, exactly how long it's going to take, and you can be in and out the door. So we don't explore menu changes very much. We just kind of use these rotating specials to do that.
What advice do you have to our listeners who are thinking about starting up something and, you know, have great confidence and ambition, but have never done what they are contemplating? What's your advice based on these past 5 years?
You need to be an expert at the industry you want to go into. And I was by no means an expert when I opened. I'm still by no means an expert now. I certainly know a lot more now than I did day one. But before I ever opened our doors, I tried to immerse myself in the industry I was going into. I got a job at a fast casual restaurant. I constantly looked at brands and what they were doing. Every, you know, new town I went into, I'd try to find the coolest fast casual concepts that were there, and I'd just sit and watch what they're doing in their kitchen and what the ambiance was like and how their customer flow was. So I think no matter what it is, businesses, whether it's a restaurant, whether you're, you know, starting an insurance firm, I mean, whatever the business is, they all have the same basic outline of how they're created and how they operate. And the more you know about your industry, the more effective you're going to be when you open your doors.
Does your wife play a role in the business?
She plays a huge role. You know, not in the day-to-day operations, but she was the person that I could bounce every idea off of and would give me honesty in those ideas and would reciprocate with her own ideas. I mean, there's no way that there would be a Five on Black without her input and her help. And especially with the design and ambiance and the branding, she played a huge role. And whenever we go to open up a new location, it's her who I'm talking to make sure that it's the right idea and that we're ready to move forward. So in the day-to-day stuff, not so much, but in the bigger picture, she's absolutely my confidant that allows us to continue moving forward.
That's terrific. I want to talk about money for a minute. Are you hitting your goals, meeting your expectations, exceeding them? How have things played out for you so far?
Well, I love looking at our original business plan. A lot of people, I think, when they go to open up a business, the financial projections are always the hardest part because they're just that. They're projections.
They're pie in the sky most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time. You know, when it comes to your expenses, you can really, if you do your research, nail down what those are. Your sales projections, those are pie in the sky. But what we did and what I encourage everybody to do is you have to make sure that your business works when it's not working as well as you thought it would. So our sales projections were really low compared to not the industry average in the country, but our industry average in our local community, or as best as I could figure. You know, we had low sales projections in comparison to that, and we had high expense projections in comparison to that. So I knew that going into it, if we did okay, that I would be happy with it. And from the day we opened, we were so fortunate in the response from the community that, you know, we've done way better than any of our projections ever said we would, which...
In all your locations?
Yeah, we've been really fortunate in our response from communities where we go.
So you're a happy, satisfied business owner?
Yeah, you could say so.
We've been talking with Tom Snyder, creator, owner, operator of Five on Black, the healthy, casual, fast Brazilian food restaurant chain that is going to go from 5 to 6 locations in the very near future. Thank you for being a guest on the show today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, produced by Autumn Barnes and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can also find previous guests, contact information, and contact from previous shows. Listen next time to hear from Matt Parker talking about his work as the co-founder of LumenAd, a clever, media-savvy digital marketing company based out of Missoula, Montana. Once again, I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you peace and prosperity. This show is made possible with support from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans.